The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're going to preview the offense going into spring practice. Joining me today is Alex Compton. Alex, how are you today?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. Watching the combine here a little bit, seeing how some of these Hoosier prospects are doing. Nate Sudfeld is coming up in the 40-yard dash, but we're here to talk about the current Hoosiers who are going to be taking the field for spring practice here shortly coming up. Spring practice starts next Saturday on the 5th with an open practice to the public on March 6th on that Sunday before IU basketball takes on Maryland potentially for a Big Ten title. So that'll be a fun and exciting event. With all of that, let's start with the known commodities, offensive line and wide receiver. So, Alex, where do you see the offensive line? Is it going to be as strong as last year? It's tough to repeat two All-Americans, but Dan Feeney is back. They lose Jason Spriggs, but is offensive line going to be strength once again for IU?
I would say it has to be if we want to get the offense back to any sort of the level it was at last season. I mean, look, we get Feeney back. That's the biggest recruit we could have gotten this offseason by far. Adding an All-American like Feeney, bringing him back for his senior season. He's going to be the leader up front, obviously. And he should obviously anchor what should be a strong line. The big question really comes down to replacing Spriggs at left tackle. I mean, depending on what we can get from guys like Camille, who is at right tackle, possibly if he shifts over, or what we get out of Brandon Knight, who played blocking tight end last season. So, I mean, replacing Spriggs is really what it comes down to. Otherwise, we have what should be on paper another really, really strong offensive line.
Yeah, and replacing Spriggs is priority number one. I would think that you're right, Brandon Knight, he is going to start this spring at tackle. They have some healthy tight ends. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But you expect Brandon Knight to play one of the tackle positions. If they're more comfortable moving Camille over to the left tackle, we'll see. But another guy they have to replace is Jake Reed at center. I think right. Wes Rogers would play there. So that's another guy who kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit between Spriggs and Feeney was Jake Reed. So replacing him will be tough as well. And especially in that shotgun formation with a new quarterback, developing a relationship between the center and the quarterback is going to be, it's tough, but it'll have to happen and see if there's any growing pains in that relationship. Next up, our next known commodity, wide receivers, Alex. There is a ton of depth here. You have, Dominic Booth posted on Facebook that he's finally medically cleared. He posted that yesterday. You have Jason Harris returning from knee surgery last summer, and he's back in the mix. So there's really a ton of depth, and we want to see where each of them will play, how many snaps they're going to play. Probably coming back from injury, they'll be on the lower side and get them ramped up for going into the fall. But, there is a ton of depth here at wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned a guy like Jason Harris. Obviously, he goes down with that ACL before his sophomore season. But, I mean, as a freshman, he 18 catches, 168 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's an absolute speedster. And, I mean, there's always touches for guys like that on offense. I could see Harris being kind of that jet sweep guy or a guy that they'll just line up on the outside and just let him use his strength, which is taking the ball deep. Look, whoever ends up winning the quarterback battle, if they don't play well, it's not because they don't have weapons to throw the ball to. I mean, you look at what this team has, especially at receiver, and I mean, it is just really, really impressive. You said Harris already. If we can get something out of a former four-star recruit in Dom Booth, I mean, he's got size and speed. He just really hasn't been able to stay healthy and put everything together. Then you got returnees like Westbrook, who also has a big frame, big body. You got Simi Cobbs, who 1,000-yard receiver last season. Obviously, he should be in for another big year. And then Ricky Jones, who I always felt like kind of underutilized. I think he led the nation in receiving yards through the first four games, and then he kind of just – he didn't fall off necessarily, but I feel like he could have been still more utilized. And then you got, like, Luke Timian. He had a couple big catches, kind of unheralded, but transferred from Oklahoma State. So, I mean, they're just weapons all across the field, and I really hope that whoever wins this quarterback battle is really comfortable with all of them, because it would be fun to see the ball spread around a ton next season.
Yeah, and you bring up Simi Cobbs and Ricky Jones. I think Ricky Jones is dealing with an ankle injury in the middle of last year. Plus, he was the guy that, you know, you saw was an add-on to the Biletnikoff watch list, and defenses really started guarding him, double-teaming him a little bit more. But, you know, and a guy we forgot to mention was Mitchell Page, who came on really strong, both as a punt returner and as a go-to guy at receiver. Page is a slot guy. He's a prototypical slot guy, maybe a little bit small for that position, but he is sure-handed. He made a lot of big catches, and I think that you could see him being used. Some of his snaps might be taken by Jayshon Harris and some of these other slot guys, maybe Dom Booth, but he's a guy who, you know, maybe if he doesn't play as much, is a little bit fresher. Maybe you could use him on kick returns as well. He did return two punts for touchdowns last year. So, you know, Mitchell Page is a glue guy. He's a leader. He's a leader in the weight room. He's a leader in the locker room. And he's a guy who's going to be productive as well. Now, is he going to catch as many balls as last year? I don't think any of these guys are going to match the number of catches they had last year just because of the depth they have at receiver and the ability to, you know, to run in and out two different teams with quality depth. And that's a big thing. You saw maybe in the bowl game a little bit that Mitchell Page ran out of gas there in overtime. They went to the well too many times. But now, you know, if you could replace Mitchell Page in some of these situations with Jayshon Harris, you know, it's quality depth, and that's a luxury. Now, I'm not, you know, it's not a knock on any of these guys, but with so much depth, you're going to see a lot of guys catching balls, a lot of guys running in and out in different formations, and it gives them a lot, gives the coaches a lot more to work with in terms of building a bigger playbook. So let's move on to tight ends, sticking with the kind of receivers here, Alex. Tight ends, I think they only have. I don't have the roster yet, official roster for spring, but they have three healthy tight ends, scholarship tight ends coming back. Jordan Fuchs will be healthy. Danny Friend is back from a quad injury. I believe he tore his quad. And then you have Austin Doris, who redshirted last year. So three guys who we really haven't seen a lot of. Danny Friend has been battling injuries his whole career. Jordan Fuchs battled injuries last year, and then obviously Doris, who did not play last year for a redshirt. But tight end it might be another strength this year. You have some guys coming in the signing class as well. So, you know, Danny Friend, let's start with Danny Friend. I thought Danny Friend played terrifically over the first four games. He got hurt against Wake Forest, and he was a major reason why this running game was so good last year. As that blocking tight end, he could go out and catch a couple passes as well. But who else stands out to you in the tight end position, Alex?
I mean, I think Jordan Fuchs, when you look at him, he's a guy that I think really could help Legault or Diamant or really whoever ends up winning the battle become real comfortable. 6'6", 230. He can go over the middle. He can go up in traffic and catch the ball. He had 2 touchdowns against Rutgers on, like, those little quick slant seam type routes. So I think that getting Fuchs healthy should be a real big boost. He's not as good of a blocker as the Danny Friend, but I think he could kind of be an X factor or somebody that you may not, like, think about heading into next season that could put up some nice numbers.
Exactly. You know, Fuchs has that ability to create mismatches on the field. He's he's not a super big tight end. He's 6'6", so he has the height. He's too big for, you know, safeties to guard one-on-one and is too fast for linebackers. So he kind of gives you that ability to maybe split him out in the slot a little bit and go with a bigger receiver package in the red zone. You mentioned the Rutgers game where he had 2 touchdowns. There was a play against Ohio State where, you know, they looked for him in the end zone. The ball was knocked away. I don't even think if he caught that he would have been in bounds. But, you know, he's a guy who's could be a real weapon if he stays healthy. And hopefully he does, because he's a guy with a lot of potential and could be a real, real, real good weapon for IU in the red zone where they need some bigger receivers. And that's another strength with this signing class coming in. I don't think they signed a receiver who's under 6'2". Next, we'll talk about Austin Doris. Alex, Austin redshirted last year. He's a big guy. He played quarterback in high school as well because the high school team needed a quarterback. And it was just a man against boys at times, it looked like. So look for Austin Doris to break into the lineup too. I think this is a very big spring for him with only 3 scholarship tight ends coming back before all these guys come in the summer with Ian Thompson, the JUCO transfer from Nassau Community College. You have Sean Bonner, who's a good tight end from Georgia. So this is a time for Austin Doris to get in some quality reps, show the coaching staff what he's done in the offseason and with his redshirt year, and potentially become that second and third tight end in the receiving and the blocking game.
Yeah, I mean, he's got – you look at him, he's 6'5", 240. He's got all the tools, like you said, in high school. He just dominated guys purely with his athleticism. I mean, he's kind of a blend, I would say, of he's almost a blend of Fuchs and Danny Friend. He's a good blocker because of his size. He's strong. But then he's also quick enough to go out over the middle, make a few guys miss, and bring down some tough catches. I mean, just looking at his high school stats, his senior year, he ran for 1,400 yards and then threw for 1,000. Obviously, the throwing yards don't do us much good now. But, I mean, just the ability to run for 1,400 yards playing quarterback at 6'5", I mean, that's pretty impressive and something that should definitely translate over to our offense this upcoming season.
Yeah, and again, with the depth, it'll allow people to stay fresh. Hopefully, it will allow these guys who have been injury prone in the past to, battle that a little bit better and get off the field and get the rest that they need and become more productive players. Alex, the next 2 positions will go quarterback to running back. These are the biggest questions for IU going into 2016. You lose Nate Sudfeld to graduation. Yeah, bring back Austin King. Xander Diamant is in the mix, probably. I have Danny Cameron. And then the big guy, Richard Legault, who's the JUCO transfer. He hasn't been named the starter, but in my opinion, I think it's his position to lose. You saw Xander tweet out, it's on, and looking forward to that. Quarterback battle, which is something you want to see. You don't want to see him hand over the keys. You want to see a guy who likes competition and who's not afraid of it. And that's what Xander Diamant brings to the table. You say what you want about his abilities, but the guy is a fiery competitor. He gives it his all the time. You know, he's not afraid to take a hit. He's not afraid to do anything. You saw him come in against Ohio State last season. He played okay. You know, you saw him against Penn State, then he got hurt. That's the problem. That's the issue with Xander is, you know, has he put on enough weight to actually protect himself in the Big Ten? You have redshirt freshman Austin King. We'll see what he brings to the table during spring practice. But let's talk about Legault first. He's Sudfeld-esque in terms of size. We saw him at the winter workout on Wednesday, Alex. He looks like he's fit in with the team well. He's becoming a leader. You saw him, you know, joking around with the guys and not really an outcast, which, you know, sometimes could be a problem with the guy coming in mid-year from a junior college. So what do you like about Richard Legault going into spring practice?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously his third school. But like you kind of said, he's fitting in with the guys. And something that I found interesting was that he said he wants to earn it. He wants to, you know, be part of this team, and he doesn't want to get it handed over. So I think him coming in with that attitude that he wants to work, he wants to gain the respect of his teammates, he wants to show everybody what he can do, I think that that's been really important for him so far as spring practice is approaching. You said the size. I mean, 6'6", he can make all the throws, which is something that Coach Wilson has always really looked for in his offense, is somebody that can throw the ball all across the field. Based on what we watched at the winter workouts, I mean, he looked quick, big strides. Obviously, we're not going to be relying on his legs to make plays too much, but obviously something that you want once in a while. But, I mean, the ability to make all the throws all across the field, and with all of these playmakers that we just talked about at receiver and tight end, I mean, he doesn't have to come in and be Nate Sudfeld. He has to come in and he has to be serviceable. We have guys that can make the plays for him. His job is simply going to be just to get them the ball and limit mistakes, kind of be in more of a game manager mode, because the offense on paper with all of the playmakers is really explosive, but it's just going to be his job to kind of facilitate all those touches.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned this before, Alex. The pieces are there in terms of skill positions and the offensive line. I mean, this offense, you know, they might take a step back the first couple of games. They are breaking in a new quarterback. They are going to probably break in a new running back, as well as a couple pieces on the line. But this offense has all the pieces there to produce another conference-leading you know, unit. So, you know, it's very exciting. It's not like 2014 where you were young at one position, at wide receiver. Unfortunately, Sudfeld went down, and then they just, you know, with Diamant playing as a true freshman, which wasn't supposed to happen. You know, there are a lot fewer question marks going into this year than there were in I would say the last 5 years of Indiana football in terms of offense. So we'll see. We'll see how that battle breaks out. You know, I'm glad Richard Legault has said that he's looking forward to earning it. That's a trait that you want in your quarterback. You don't want somebody coming in expecting to be handed the job. You know, so that's huge in my book. Now we'll talk about a position I'm excited about, a position that really under Kevin Wilson has flourished is running back. You know, Indiana has had tremendous success over the last basically since Wilson has been here. You had Stephen Houston, you had Tevin Coleman for 2013 and 14 had tremendous years. Jordan Howard and Devine Redding last year had tremendous years. So I don't want to say Indiana's becoming running back U yet, because it's only been a five-year sample size, but this has become a position of strength for them where in the past it hasn't been. And a lot of that does have to do with the offensive line, but I remember watching Big Ten games where Indiana would rush for 60, 70 yards, you know, and, you know, maybe average 100 yards on the season per game. But now, you know, the big question is who's going to start for them? You know, it's been rumored that Kameon Patrick has moved to running back. He was ineligible last year, and Wilson has alluded to him being the best player on the team. Now, if you go onto his Instagram, there are posts and videos of him at running back in practices for IU going absolutely insane and, you know, trucking people, running over people, making moves. Now, I understand it is the Indiana defense, but, you know, it's their number one defense, and the guy is it looks like an absolute monster. So it'd be shocking to me with the depth they have at wide receiver to see him play and start at wide receiver, but I think he's going to be coming into the season. He will probably be your number one running back. His skill set is tremendous, and it's just exciting to have a guy like that on the team. I think Devine Redding, he was excellent last year, and I think, you know, you need two running backs in college. You saw, you know, Jordan Howard got hurt. You know, Tevin Coleman the year before played in all the games, but he had a broken foot. You saw him the year before that. He was out, and they used two running backs. So, you know, Kevin Wilson loves to use two running backs, and I think Devine could have another great season as a number two back. And you saw him in the last three games, the win over Maryland and Purdue, and the bowl game where he showed that he could be a number one back. And there'll be a battle, but you know, I think I won't say split carries, but you'll see a lot of both Kameon and Devine Redding. Alex, what's your take on the running back position?
Yeah, I mean, Kameon Patrick, that's another guy, just an explosive playmaker. I mean, if we can if he can just turn around, hand the ball off to him, and feel comfortable doing that, I mean, that's another thing that'll help him kind of get going in the offense. And then you look at Redding, I mean, losing Howard last season towards the end of the year, the performance he put together in the bowl game made me feel a lot better about Redding for these next two seasons. I think he can be the number one back, but I think he is better suited for that backup role where he gives you kind of a change of pace. He had over 1,000 yards rushing last year, like you said, so he's proven, which is always, always good to have at the running back position. And then moving down, you have Mike Majette, who sort of turned some heads last year. Freshman, he had a great game against Rutgers. And then, so you look at him, he could probably stay at the number three. And then moving down, you have walk-ons Ricky Brookings and Alex Rodriguez, who both showed that they could play some meaningful snaps. A-Rod had a touchdown in Yankee Stadium, which he said he's the first A-Rod to score a touchdown in Yankee Stadium, so that was pretty funny. But and then you look at guys coming in. You got Cole Guest. I think he probably redshirts. But then you have Keontae Ennis, who he could challenge for some carries, but I think due to the depth, he probably redshirts as well. So, again, you look at the offense. Besides replacing Spriggs and Sudfeld, I mean, you have – just a solid, solid unit of guys who can just go out there and make plays. And I think finishing any worse than top two in the offense or in the conference in offense would sort of be a disappointment based on all of these guys that we have to put on the field next season.
Yeah, and if you look at the conference and the offense, there's a lot of questions. Now, you know, Ohio State's offense is going to be pretty good. They have JT Barrett back. But, you know, who's playing quarterback at Michigan? Who's playing quarterback at Michigan State? Who's taking over for Hackenberg at Penn State? You know, are you really think that Maryland and Rutgers are going to have a great offense? You look at the West, you know, Iowa's offense is good, but it's still Iowa. They're not going to be an explosive offense. Northwestern's offense wasn't great last year. Nebraska, while returning Tommy Armstrong Jr., might not have as an explosive offense. So you're right, Alex, that, you know, anywhere outside of the top two might be a little surprising. So, you know, we'll see You know, one other thing I want to say about Kamion and the depth at running back, it gives you a chance to move pieces around. You could put Kamion in the slot, have Devine at running back, and really not lose any talent on the field. So, you know, it should – this offense is becoming hard to stop. You know, they averaged over 30 – I think it was 34 points per game. And it's really becoming that that dominant offense that Kevin Wilson was known for at Oklahoma. Whereas, you know, a couple years ago, especially with Kofi and Cody Latimer and all those guys, whereas, you know, sometimes a flash in the pan in terms of they'll either score on three plays or they'll punt the ball. Whereas now this is and you saw it last year, this is an offense that can drive the field. And, you know, looking at the Western Kentucky game, now I know it's Western Kentucky, but they had two drives over 95 yards, I believe, four scores, where, you know, a couple years ago that might not have been possible, where you might get a big play and score in two plays where they had 5, 6, 7 minute drives going down the field, imposing their will on people. And you saw it against Michigan too, that last drive to take the lead in the fourth quarter. You know, this offense has really, really become something that's more consistent and should be expected to finish in the top two. And I know those are high expectations, but I bet my bottom dollar that the coaching staff will be expecting them to finish in the top two in the conference and offense as well. So there's a ton of depth. There's a ton of talent. Now we'll see how these pieces fit together. That's always something that has to stand out. We'll see how they start to gel in spring. But more importantly, when we get to the fall practices, hopefully we get to see a few of those. But seeing how they grow from the spring over the summer into fall practice is going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously how the parts kind of work together is always a question. But the thing about our offense that I think, for me, kind of gets rid of that concern is the fact that we can give multiple people the ball in many different ways. So you talked about Kamion possibly moving to the slot for some plays. I mean, he could be that jet sweep guy for plays and have Redding back there, or you could do so many different things. And it's just thinking about all the combinations, all the different plays we can run, the tempos. It's just right now it's just a little overwhelming, and I really cannot wait to get to that first open practice on the 6th.
Yeah, and you know, you say it's overwhelming, and it is to a point where it's like, wow, there are a lot of pieces coming back, a lot of pieces that should fit well. And this is the spring where you could be excited without really being nervous about the offense. Now, if Legault isn't as advertised, yeah, that might make you a little bit nervous. But this is, you know, where you're probably more excited about the spring than you are nervous about it. And, you know, to me, this is the first time that I've felt that in a while. So I'm excited to see them at that open practice. The spring game is Friday, April 15th. I believe it'll be in the evening, probably after the women's race on Little 500. That would make sense to me and give a chance for fans to come down, maybe get those students who were at the women's race into Memorial Stadium for the spring game. I know Wilson wants a big crowd. And with this offense, just to see this offense work is going to be excited. But Alex, I know you're part of the student athletic board, one of their directors. What do you guys, IU basketball is having a magical season, to put it one way. They, you know, they kind of look dead in the water after Maui, but, you know, they've turned the corner, control their own destiny for the Big Ten. I believe they need to win, one of the next two to clinch at least a part of that Big Ten title. But what events do you have coming up for IU basketball?
Yeah, so IUBB, obviously, magical season. But we are having a watch party in Assembly Hall for the Iowa game this Tuesday. That game's at 9 o'clock. Doors are going to open at 8:30, and that's free. So we're going to have the game, the broadcast of the game on the Jumbotron, and everybody can just sit in the Assembly Hall and watch the game together. And that could possibly be to win the Big Ten outright. If Maryland loses at Purdue today and we beat Iowa on Tuesday, that would make us outright Big Ten champs. But if we win one of the last two, we cannot do any worse than a tie for first. So I definitely encourage anybody to come, anybody to bring friends, whatever. Free at 9 o'clock, open to everyone. So we hope to see tons and tons of people there because it could be an awesome night.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, if you're a student, enjoy it. When I was a student, IU basketball was going through transition. I saw three coaches. Mike Davis was my freshman year. I went through the Sampson years and the early years of Tom Crean. So enjoy IU basketball's run at a Big Ten title. Go to the event. I would go if I could make it down to Bloomington, but it's something that it sounds awesome, Alex. You know, and don't forget women's basketball. Women's basketball too is having a great season. You know, I think they're in play for a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament and are looking to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. So support your other Hoosier teams. Alex will be down in Bloomington on Sunday at practice. But for now, we do have our redshirt previews continuing. We have some NFL draft stuff up on the site as well. Thanks for joining me, Alex, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Yep, thanks for having me on. I'm going to go make up some mock depth charts looking at all our offensive options for next year. So thanks.
That sounds good. Thanks for joining us again, and we'll be back next Saturday to preview the defense. You know, it's something that has been a concern, but we'll see if the new defensive coordinator, new defensive line coach can improve upon their numbers. You know, it can't get much worse, but we'll see how that goes. Thank you for joining us. As always, check back to Hoosier Huddle often. We have new stuff coming out every day. And, you know, thanks for joining us on a wonderful Saturday afternoon.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.